after a hurricane comes a rainbow, maybe a reason why all the doors are closed, so you could open one that leads you to the perfect road. Like a lightning bolt, your heart will glow, and when it's time you know, you just gotta ignite the light and live.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Counting down the days until the November 5th election, Donald Trump mincing no words when discussing special counsel investigating him for trying to overturn the 2020 election. ABC's Rachel Scott has more.
Trump saying if reelected, getting rid of Jack Smith would be, quote, one of the first things addressed. Later, even calling for him to be thrown out of the country. After nearly 2 years of investigating, Smith has brought over 40 charges against Trump. If elected, they will almost certainly all be dismissed.
Kamala Harris will be in Houston tonight, campaigning with Beyonce and Willie Nelson. Lyle and Eric Menendez, the brothers who killed their parents in 1989, could be getting out of prison soon. The Los Angeles District Attorney recommending new sentencing based on their age. The first World Series featuring five MVPs set for tonight in Los Angeles, Dodgers and Yankees. The MVPs are the Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, and the Yankees' Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Ted Ayland. Marshfield Clinic Health Systems and Sanford Health, based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, have announced their plans to merge. A release says the integration of the two health systems is aimed to improve patient care with new technology, research, and training. That merger is expected by the end of the year. The WNBA may be coming to Milwaukee. The Sports Business Journal reports the Milwaukee Bucks have submitted a bid to bring a women's professional franchise to Fiserv Forum. Other cities, including Philadelphia, Denver, Cleveland, and Nashville, have also expressed interest. And a big donation from La Crosse's Oktoberfest USA. Thursday, the festival donated $142,000 to several community groups, such as Big Brothers Big Sisters, La Crescent Animal Rescue, local youth soccer, and a community church. The group donates its proceeds to community groups every year. Ted Ayland, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Max FM weather brought to you by SSM Health, providing high-quality, compassionate, and personalized care to communities across Wisconsin. SSMHealth.com.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today, 60, with wind northwest at 10 to 15. Tonight, clear, 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 57. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny, with a high right around 63. For amazing fall and winter getaways and holiday fun, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 45.
99.7.
Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM. As promised, it's Natalie Merchant's birthday, so we cannot not play Carnival on Max FM.
FM.
Cause we're looking as cool as
some hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Dave and Emily with you on Friday morning. Emily, we are having a lot of fun here already.
Yes, we are. I love the Stray Cats. Just anything they do is fantastic. And I just love that they end their song with woo! Like, I mean, that's they're just having a great time and they're doing great music. So thank you for playing that.
You betcha. Well, I've been messing with the playlist all morning, so I might as well go for the whole thing here because I've just changed it up again just before we came back on air because the next topic we're talking about is fun, but I'm going to talk about weather super quick. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 60. Tonight, will be clear with a low of 33. Saturday, sunny and cool, high of 56 on Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 33. On Sunday, sunny with a high of 62. Looking ahead to next week, Monday a high near 70, Tuesday a high near 80. Wednesday will cool down to the mid-70s. Thursday, chances of rain and possibly a thunderstorm, highs in the 50s. So we'll keep an eye on that as it gets a little bit closer to Halloween. Currently, it is 46 degrees outside.
That sounds kind of nice. And you know, the sun is shining and 46 with sunny. Just, I mean, to me, that's like the best weather ever. I do like it a little bit cooler. And when you can sit in the sun and a cool day and the sun feels great rather than on a hot day where it kind of just, for me, I don't know, I'm fair skinned with freckles. So I sure get sunburned. So when it's hot and sunny, I don't love that as much. When it's cool and you can enjoy the sun like this and take a walk, see the colors, I mean, I couldn't ask for a nicer day. So thanks for bringing that nice weather, Dave. I mean, I guess that's part of your superpower, right? You not just report, you also bring the weather. So thank you for that. Hey, I got a quick question before we talk about our next topic, which I'm really excited about. So I'm going for the first time this weekend to what's called Fright Fest at Great America. So I guess in the fall, around the Halloween time, just on the weekends, they change Great America into a giant haunted house / amusement park with roller coasters, and everything has, you know, scary themed everything. So I've never been yet. I've been wanting to go like my whole life. So I was just curious if anybody out there has gone and if they have any suggestions of the rides I should hit or what I should avoid. I do like being scared. So I'm going to go into the dark and not run away from it probably, where my husband will probably be like hiding in the car. I'll be in it. So anybody got any suggestions out there who's been to this? I just can't wait. So I'd love to hear from people or anyone out there that, you know, hasn't been because it's too scary, that too. But Dave, have you ever been to this thing?
I have not. So that's one thing I've not done. It's been a while since I've done a lot of that stuff. We used to have a haunted house here in this area. I know that our predecessors, Maddie and Mike, went and did it. And that video was absolutely priceless.
I wish there was I would so do that. So are you like a scaredy cat? Like, do you not do the scary stuff?
Well, see, I'm the one who usually goes along and then just adds to it and makes it worse for whoever's going through it. There was a reason that they didn't have me go with them. I wasn't here full time yet when that was all going on. And I would probably be trying to scare them as well, in addition to the people that are there. So
we used to play some pranks.
Poor Mike. We used to play some pranks on him. And so our goal was ultimately to mess with him as well. But hey, it's funny we mentioned Mike. It was his birthday on Wednesday. And last night I saw a video of where he's at now. He's in the Minnesota area. And he was dressed up as Elsa. So that was priceless.
Lovely. Good for him. You know, that's the thing about Halloween. Like, you just get to do whatever the heck you want. Go for it, you know?
Well, they had kind of messed with that whole crew, apparently, and pranked them. So, they thought they were going to be getting a day off of work for their prank. And, the prank was on them. So, it's priceless. So, anyone that knows Mike, you have to go check that out. I'm still laughing about that. So,
I mean, the scene is radio people seem to like to mess with each other. So, let's keep that in mind out there. Again, reaching out to y'all that are listening. If you have any good ideas of how to mess with Dave.
Or vice versa. You have to remember I'm the station prankster.
I'm way too new. You got to leave me alone now.
I'm the station prankster. So I know your office is. I'm just waiting for Rob to get me the code. So
All right. Fair enough. I do want to say, like, our topic that we're talking about obviously is Halloween-y, and we're going to be talking about some haunted house funness. But I want to shout out to Shelly Mordini. She's just such a fabulous lady. And I think the big deal today is getting a gift certificate for her Haunted Baraboo tour. And it's just, she just does an amazing job. She's such a creative, and she's just such a nice person with wonderful energy. So, Shelly, if you're listening, we love you.
We do, and you can get half off a tour certificate for Bearbrew Tours today and today only at maxfmbigdeals.com. Shop local, save big. You need to get that in your cart before 11:59, and if you wait too long, that may not be available. We found that out on Wednesday. Our big deal of the day on Wednesday sold out before the morning show was over. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's great. That means the local businesses are getting supported. And, you know, I know we both believe in that absolutely 100%, support the community and the local businesses in it. So if we can help with that by telling people about it, then, you know, that's something to be proud of. So that's awesome.
It is. And, you know, this time of year, many people go to fake haunted houses, but some people believe they've been in the real thing or lived in one. Ooh. In a poll, 16% people say they have lived in a haunted house, 11% say they have visited an actual haunted house, and 6% say they haven't yet but would like to. 29% say they would have not, and others have no interest in going to one.
24% of people say they do not believe houses can be haunted. And interesting. I thought this fact was really interesting. That's more common among men. 31% of them say that. So women are more likely to believe houses can be haunted because they have personal experience. 19% of women claim that they have lived in a haunted house compared to just 12% of men. So there could be all kinds of laundry lists we can have our opinions on and why that's the case. But I'm going to say this. I just think that the ladies are paying more attention. That's all. I'm just going to say they're paying more attention to all the things around them versus kind of like with the blinders on. No offense to anyone, I'm making a joke, but I think it's an interesting stat. So I'm just going to go with that. But
well, so you don't know this yet. So we kind of know what we're going to talk a little bit about, but I don't tell you all the fun stuff, of course. I've lived in two haunted houses.
What? So you're a believer because you've been involved. What is your story?
Well, besides working in an old funeral home like I do, and we'll talk about that maybe next week on Halloween, and I'll tell you my story about that. So the first house I lived in as a kid was haunted. We saw things happening in that house as kids, and the ceiling was coming down at one point. Just some weird stuff that, and the ceiling didn't really come down, but we thought that it was. My brother and I both saw it at the same time, and we had doors that would do some weird things in that house. Ironically, we lived on Elm Street.
No.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wee.
Right.
Freddy Krueger is in the house, literally, with Dave. That's awesome. Wow.
So
that's
fast.
Really cool. I remember it being a kid when Freddy Krueger movies were out, Nightmare on Elm Street. Those were my favorite. I remember you kind of had to like choose a group of scary movies. You were either a Halloween fan, Friday the 13th, or Nightmare on Elm Street, and my lane was Nightmare on Elm Street. I was down with Freddy and his, you know, scary fingers and all the things. So there was Elm Street perpendicular to the street that I grew up on, and I remember feeling jealous of the people that lived on Elm Street because I wanted to so badly. So I'm a little bit jealous of that story, Dave. That's pretty cool.
So that was the first one, and the current house we live in Baraboo. We used to have some things happen after we first moved into this house. Our pantry door would open and close on its own. Oh, our dog would hear things in the kitchen and go check it out. My sister-in-law swears our house is haunted, and there was things when we first moved in the kitchen that were moving around on us. So, yes, we are pretty sure at one point this house was haunted, and not necessarily by a bad ghost, but someone that was just kind of here to make sure that we were the next tenants taking good care of the house. And we have not had any sightings in many years, and so we assume that they appreciate what we're doing with the house, that we're taking care of the house, and they know the house is in good hands. So, yes.
I like that. So they kind of did a, you know, a checklist with you all and messed with you a little bit, and then they found that you passed the test, and so they moved on and maybe were able to, you know, be at peace because they felt that you were going to, you know, like you said, take care of the house. So that's actually kind of lovely. I like that story. Thank you for sharing that.
You bet. And we'll talk more about those as Halloween comes up soon. I'll talk about the experience of working in our current studio as well. So we'll save that for Halloween.
Yeah, we'll save that for Halloween. There's definitely some, I mean, there's a lot of, like, if you want to call it spiritual activity or you know, just because of this, the history in Baraboo is so rich, right? Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a vibe in Baraboo. Yep. And inside some of the buildings, I'm sure you'll share a little bit more next week, and I can too. But inside some of the buildings, I mean, you just walk in and you can just Hotel upstairs there at the Corner Drug. If you go up there, I asked the DBI folks who have an office up there. When I first went up there, I asked them what used to be there, because I walked up there and I was you can just feel some stuff. And they said it used to be the kind of like the backstage green room changing quarters for all the circus performers up there. And I was like, oh, there's definitely a lot of energy in that kind of stuff. Because if you're a performer and you're getting ready, you know, all your synapses are firing, you know, your energy's on high. So that explained that. I thought that was pretty cool, a piece of history for Baraboo.
Most definitely is. So what we're going to do, since we're talking about this stuff, is we'll get a word in from our sponsors. And I'm going to play a Nightmare on My Street. So I'm totally messing with the Max FM playlist for anyone that's curious today. So, and of course, we'll hear it again on Thursday. And then right after that, we'll be back with Calendar Days on Max FM.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I'm Kim, a U.S. Cellular customer. They asked me to tell you that their special customer event, Us Days, is back. Get $1,200 off any phone plus $400 off any tablet. Us Days at U.S. Cellular is back. Exclusive offers just for us, just to say thanks. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details. Actor portrayal.
Whoa, slow down. Get up to $1,200 off any phone plus $400 off any tablet. It's Us Days going on right now at U.S. Cellular in Baraboo, the Dells, Reedsburg, and cellplus.com.
Hi, I'm Joan Balwig. As a mom, grandma, and small business owner, I understand how rising costs are affecting Wisconsin families, whether it's groceries, school supplies, or health care. That's why I fought in Madison to put more money in your pocket and support programs that address rising costs. I voted to cut taxes for the middle class, fought to provide more health care coverage for postpartum mothers. I worked to address rising child care costs by expanding available tax credits and by creating new child care slots. And I fought to improve access to mental health care and suicide prevention. Because by working together and bringing everyone to the table, we can put more money in your pockets and support programs that reduce costs, improve outcomes, and make life more affordable again. I'm Joan Balwig. I'm a bipartisan consensus builder. I'm running for state senate, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. Paid for by the committee to elect Joan Balwig.
Today's Max FM Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Baraboo Tours. Get to know the charm of Baraboo from the back of a rickshaw or on a walking tour of their beautiful downtown. Hear the haunted stories behind some of the businesses and buildings around the square in Baraboo from a knowledgeable and entertaining tour guide. Go to maxfmbigdeals.com and purchase $10 gift certificates for just $5. Today only on Max FM Big Deals.
Sports is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts of Baraboo.
Can David slay Goliath again? Good morning. I'm Doug Russell with sports. Okay, maybe a little dramatic, but it is homecoming in Madison. Tomorrow night, Camp Randall will be center stage for possibly Wisconsin's toughest football game of the season as they welcome in unbeaten and third-ranked Penn State. Kickoff is set for 6:30 from Camp Randall. To Green Bay, it's the Packers and the Jaguars on Sunday. Jacksonville started 0-4, but they've won two out of their last three. At practice on Thursday, only cornerback Corey Ballantyne was held out completely. Meanwhile, Quay Walker, Josh Myers, and Elton Jenkins, who all missed practice on Wednesday, all returned in limited fashion yesterday. Sunday's game is a noon start at EverBank Stadium. Week 8 in the NFL began last night in Los Angeles. The Rams beat the Vikings 30-20 at SoFi Stadium. And the Bucks will have their home opener tonight at Fiserv Forum. Wednesday night, they beat Philly on the road. Tonight, they welcome in the Chicago Bulls to town. Tip-off is set for just after 7. Doug Russell, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly sunny by later this afternoon. Our high today, 60, with wind northwest at 10 to 15. Tonight, clear, 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 57. Then on Sunday, mostly sunny, with a high right around 63. For amazing fall and winter getaways and holiday fun, check out Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Current temperature, 44.
98.
That it would be groovy if we summon up the posse and dumb rush the movies. I got Angie, Jeff got Tina, Ready Rock got some girl I've never seen in my life. That was alright though, cause the lady was chill. Then we dipped to the theater, set to Ill, Buggin', Cole having a ball. And something about Elm Street was the movie we saw. The way it started was decent, you know, nothing real fancy about this homeboy named Fred and this girl named Nancy. But word, when it was over, I said, yo, that was death. And everything seemed all right when we left. But when I got home and laid down to sleep, that began the nightmare on my street. In my room like an oven, my bed soaked with sweat, and man, I was bugging. I checked the clock, it had stopped at 12:30. It had melted, it was so darn hot, and I was thirsty. I wanted something cool to quench my thirst. I thought to myself, yo, this heat is the worst. But when I got downstairs, I noticed something was wrong. I was home all alone, but the TV was on. I thought nothing of it as I grabbed the remote. I pushed the power button, and then I almost choked when I heard this awful voice coming from behind. It said,
you are the living metal and now you must die.
Man, I ain't even wait to see who it was. Broke outside in my drawers and screamed so long, cuz got halfway up the block, I calmed down and stopped screaming, then thought, oh, I get it, I must be dreaming. I strolled back home with a grin on my grill. I figured since this is a dream, I might as well get ill. I walked in the house, the big bad Fresh Prince. But Freddy killed all that noise real quick. He grabbed me by my neck and said,
here's what we'll do. We got a lot of work here, me and you. The souls of your friends, you and I will claim. You've got the body and I got the brain.
I said, yo, Fred, I think you got me all wrong. I ain't partners with nobody with nails that long. I'll be honest, man, this team won't work. The girls won't be on you, Fred, your face is all burnt. Fred got mad and his head started steaming. But I thought, what the hell, I'm only dreaming. I said, please leave, Fred, so I can get some sleep. But give me a call and maybe we'll hang out next week. I pat him on the shoulder, said, thanks for stopping by. Then I opened up the door and said, take care, guy. He got mad, drew back his arm and slashed my shirt. I laughed at first and thought, hold up, that hurt. Wasn't a dream, man, this guy was for real. I said, Freddy, how it's been an awful mistake here. No further words, and then I darted upstairs. Crashed through my door, then jumped on my bed. Pulled the covers up over my head. Said, oh, please do something with Fred. He jumped on my bed, but threw the covers with his claws. Tried to get me, but my alarm went off. And then silence, it was a whole new day, I thought. I wasn't scared of him anyway, until I noticed those rips in my sheets, and that was proof that there had been a nightmare on my street. Oh man, I gotta call Jeff. I gotta call Jeff. Come on, come on. Come on, Jeff, answer. Come on, man.
Hello?
Jeff, it's Prince, man. Jeff, wake up. Jeff, wake up.
What do you want?
Jeff, wake up, man. Listen to me, Jeff.
It's 3 o'clock
Jeff,
in the morning. What
Jeff,
do you
would
want?
You listen to me? Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
Man.
Jeff, listen to me. No, don't
no.
go to sleep, Jeff.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. Definitely in the morning.
Oh, I love that song so much. I was straight up dancing. That song is fantastic. And
it
is.
It's not normally on our morning playlist either. But hey, the boss will talk to me about that later. And our station manager does have some pretty strict rules on the songs that we're supposed to play in the morning. And we'll see what happens with that. Oh, wait. I'm the interim morning show host, as a reminder, folks. So, you know, if I'm not here Monday morning, you'll know I got in more trouble.
You'll come back by popular demand no matter what. So yeah. We're just going to hope for the best here. I know you did your whole ask for forgiveness, not permission on that song. So
right.
Thank you, because I think a lot of people probably appreciated that one. So thank you.
You bet. So we'll talk about calendar days because we do have Havel hanging out ready to go. So we'll go through the calendar days today. And ironically, it's National Chucky Day.
I know. There's some really good ones here, and I kind of just put them into a little puzzle for myself. So this is what I'm going to do with the calendar days today. So I'm going to say go ahead and get your Chucky doll, watch Frankenstein, get out your art palette, get ready to paint because it's National Artist Day, it's National Chucky Day, it's Frankenstein Friday, and go ahead and get yourself a glass of champagne because it's Global Champagne Day. That sounds like a good Friday to me.
It is. Well, then you get into these two, and I hope my doctor's not listening after my visit on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. National Greasy Fruits Day.
No, not for
National
Dave.
National Breadstick Day. It's
I'm
also
really excited
World
about
Pasta
those ones.
Day.
carbon grease. Go for it. It's Friday. Why not?
You look at
but
all the ones
you have to wear a bandana because it's National Bandana Day. So while you're eating your greasy food and breadsticks, wear a bandana, okay, Dave?
Right. So you notice how Emily and I did not even talk about what we're going to talk about ahead of time. So it's day four for Emily. So Emily, I do want to take a moment and say thank you for joining me on the morning show. This week has been a blast. We are happy to have you here. I love working with you. This is great. So
thank you, Dave. That means so much. And the feeling is totally mutual. This has been a blast for me. And I was just thinking, and I was just saying to my people, I was saying it just puts me in a good mood. It just sets the day right. So the energy is great. And I really appreciate that. Thank you on air. I appreciate all of you listening. And it's been so much fun. I can't wait for more.
It has been. And Randy, no, I'm not reading the one you just texted in because I'm not getting in trouble with anyone else in my family. So one of our listeners texted in one that was on Facebook this morning. So yes, Emily, welcome to Max FM. You're doing great. We're so happy to have you here as our morning show co-host. And I'm just interim morning show host. So that's currently our plan anyways. We'll see what happens. But I'm loving working with you. This has been a lot of fun. And I've got to say, it makes the mornings go that much faster, as evidenced by, you know, we're already running late on things too.
I know, we are. We got to get the Packer talk coming in. We got to do it. So thank you, Dave, and thank you, Max FM, and thank you, Civic Media, and thank you all the listeners. You're the most important. That's why we're here. So thank you all for having me. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too, and we'll see you on Monday. I almost said Wednesday. See, I'm already going the wrong day. So, Emily, we'll have you back with us Monday, 7:10 in the morning. Thank you so much for being here, Emily. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Happy weekend.
It is time for Hanging with Havel here on Max FM. Chris Havel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. Chris is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist with the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now his 24th season as the host of Sportsline 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Havel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farms.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
cruise to Oakwood Fruit Farm for great-tasting Honeycrisp, Macintosh, Cortland, and all the cooking and eating varieties of apples you love. Enjoy great-tasting fresh cider, caramel apples, squash, fresh bakery items, fresh cranberries, pumpkins, squash, and everyone's favorite apple cider donuts. Discount Tuesdays, get 10% off apples. 9 to 5, they're open 7 days a week at Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for
Good morning, Chris. Happy Friday. It is great to have you with us. How are you doing today?
Dave, I am doing outstanding. Hey, there for a second, I thought we might have a three-mic morning. Welcome to Emily. Jeez,
yes.
Sound awesome. You guys sound great. Sounds like you've been together for forever. And as somebody who does this full-time, part-time, I have to say that's not easy. And you can't just fake it. Either there's chemistry or there isn't, and generally you know sooner than later. And sometimes it's too late by then. But,
right.
But in this case, good stuff. So welcome to Emily. I'm actually not officially a Civic Media member, but I am a fan and listening to you guys enjoy it. Very good.
Yeah, Emily's been great, and it's just like we've been working together for years, I have to say that, and it's been just nice to have someone to banter back and forth with, and she does a great job. We kind of already are starting to complete each other's sentences, which is kind of scary, too.
That is. You know, now, so is she a Packers fan, a football fan? Have you discussed any of that?
Oh,
I know you're just getting rolling.
Talked about all of that because I had to know if she was a fellow Packers fan. She is a Packers fan, and her husband Rob is a huge sports guy. So,
oh, great.
He loves the Packers and he loves his sports. So, yeah, we're going to hit it off great because there are Packers fans. There's no Vikings fans or anything along those lines.
No mixed marriages to have to deal with or anything
right?
like that. Isn't life just pure bliss? So, Dave, I got to start. First of all, what a wonderful time for Rob and Emily and everybody out there, you, myself, Maddie, who are our sports fans. You got the NBA season, regular season opener. Now, that thing doesn't end till April 13th. So I don't know if that's a Friday the 13th, but it would be fitting if it was. Anyway, because it goes for forever, kind of like a horror movie that just won't die or end. But the Bucks with a big win against the Sixers in the opener on the road, and they've got the Bulls tonight at Fiserv. So looking forward to that. Always a lot of fun. Game one of the World Series. I've cried my tears and my eyes out for the Brewers and all of that. And now I'm going to do the proper Brewer baseball fan thing and ignore the World Series. So we'll have that.
Too.
I'm rooting
what
for
World
snow.
Series?
I have the over on snow, 4.5 inches over or under. So I'll, no, I'm kidding. I'm not bitter.
A little
all,
early
right?
for that. We don't want to be talking about that. I got yard work to do this weekend.
Hey, they had the Liberty Parade for the WNBA champs, and I thought it was snowing. It was actually confetti, so that was good.
That was good.
I was happy about that. The Badgers, they're red hot, too. Luke Fickell feels like he's figuring things out. So I guess before we get to Packers, Jaguars, and all that good stuff, got to talk a little Thursday night football, Dave.
Yes, because we do.
Rams 30, Lions 20. So
what
one out of the first
there?
Four bites the dust. Well, the Rams are pretty good when they have Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, and they got not one but both of their wonderful receivers back. And after a terrible week of receiver injury news up and down the NFL, and knock on wood, the Packers were spared, the Rams and Matthew Stafford get their receivers back. And it's crazy, Dave, how as good as the Lions are, short week, have to go on the road.
Right.
Really, I think a taxing 31-29 loss to the Lions, their first loss of the season. So you go 5-6 weeks and you're 5-0, and then you go 4 days and you lose two. That's kind of the NFL. It's just nuts.
It's how it rolls, quite honestly.
But you know, with Stafford having those receivers, and we were talking about this last night, the Lions certainly, or I should say the Vikings certainly. Geez, here the Vikings. I keep getting the Vikings and Lions. I'm confused with both of them being good at the same time.
Right,
it's
got very confusing.
Up.
It's unusual.
The Vikings trying to bring a pass rush against the Rams and Stafford last night. When you have two receivers that both know what the defense is trying to do, recognize that they may blitz, and be certain on where they're going to be and on time, Stafford can get the ball out of his hands pretty quick. And Kyren Williams, they ran the ball well enough too. So I have to say, as good as the division has been, last night was a little bit of a surprise for some people, Vikings going down. But good for the Rams. Good for the Rams. It helps the Packers cause up and down.
It does. And before we get to the Packers, let's talk about what's been the best division in the NFL, the mighty NFC North, which had that rare loss last night, you know, but the NFC is looking great this season.
It really has. Going into the Week 8 matchups, all four teams in the division favored as a collective 23-7 now in the division with the loss last night. And the Vikings were favored in that game, and they went down. The rest of the three, interesting, at noon Sunday, Titans at the Lions. Lions 5-1. I apologize. I'll never confuse them with the Vikings again. 11.5-point favorites over the Titans. 1-5 versus 5-1. I think the Lions not only cover, but carry the torch and still stay in first place. Then the Packers at the Jaguars, another noon game. Packers 4-point favorites, 5-2 versus 2-5. And then the Bears at the Commanders, and the Bears, rarefied air for Chicago. They're in the 325 slot. They didn't know that you even played games in the NFL at that time of day. All foreign to them. This is news. So they're 4-2 going against the 5-2 Commanders. And I saw the line shift in favor of the Bears now to 3-point favorites, Dave, which tells me that Jaden Daniels, the quarterback of the Commanders, probably not going to play.
I would say you're right.
We won't get Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels, one pick versus two, but we will get Bears Commanders, and should be a dandy game. So just in that division there, now 11-4, 12-4 against conference opponents. And I got to say, it's clearly the best division in football. I can't wait till they start beating up on each other, Dave.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of talk that the Packers-Jaguars game could be a trap game. So tell me, what are your thoughts about this being a trap game? Because, you know, everyone's expecting a Packers victory this weekend. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I got to say, it has all the elements, because you start out with the Packers, a three-game winning streak, the last two at home, and you might feel a little fat and sassy just because you got those wins and all of that. But with this Packers team, one of the really great strengths of it, I think, is that there's a difference between being satisfied and feeling satisfaction. And I think the Packers get a great amount of satisfaction, take pride in their work. They're a young team. They literally hang on what the coaches have to say, which is a benefit, and then the veterans sprinkled in there. But their level of, like, we've been there, we've done this, we've got it, I don't sense any of that. I do not sense any feeling better. I sense a lot of curiosity about how good they can be and exploring that for them within that locker, but definitely no sense of we've got this, we've arrived. They're still trying to find themselves, and they had a great lesson early in the season. The farther we get away from the two Malik Willis wins, the more important they become to me, and because you wouldn't be 5-2 without them. And you wouldn't have that feeling of we can do this no matter what the odds, no matter who the quarterback, and so many good things with on that level. And that's why I think the trap game element, the Jaguars are the poor opponent, you're on the road, those are two other elements. Right. Certainly Florida could be some heat. I know the Packers, it was pretty hot against the Texans, but you've got that. And then you've got, of course, the biggest element, the Lions looming next week. Number one in the division, and I said, is in first place, and they'll quite likely pound the Titans on Sunday. So all those elements there, but I do think because of this team's, well, first, Dave, there's so many guys that are just football guys, and it sounds cliche, but they're guys who their number one, they're not in the NFL because they won the DNA lottery and hit the jackpot. It's like, well, you know, I'd rather do this, be a chemist, be a salesman, be a whatever, but I can't pass up the millions because look at my body and I'm just incredible. These guys love the game and hang on to words. And that part of it, I think, the enthusiasm. And then some of the older guys seeing these young guys being around that. You know how it is? You have an infusion. Okay, Emily comes in. Mm-hmm. Predecessor, amazing. I mean, who doesn't love Maddie? Emily comes in. There's a vibe. There's a little bit of a, you know, and when you got some youth around you and young, or infusion of whatever change, I think that bodes well, too, for this team. So, and plus, you got a first-year D coordinator who is learning along with those guys and all of that. So I just feel good that the trap game element of it, I don't see it. I actually don't feel like I think you'd agree. Have they played their best game yet this season?
I don't think so. And plus, you have to remember the Jaguars have, they're just getting back from two games in London. So, you know, there's that aspect of it as well, too. So I don't think it's a trap game. You know, it's just so much talk of it. And, you know, you never know what you're going to get, right? I mean, it could be warm in there. I get that totally. But I don't think it's a trap game myself either. I think it's a lot of talk and people just trying to come up with something to poke the bear, per se.
For sure. You know, and the trap element, too, of it is if you have a team that tends to lose its focus. See, I don't see any of that either. I mean, guys are fighting for snaps. They're trying to make money for themselves down the road and earn the contract that they do have. So, again, I'm with you there. I think the 4 points is actually a little thin. Now, the Jaguars, Doug Peterson saying, well, we're playing our best football. Well, you started 0-4. You know, so right. Of course I would agree with that, and that, I thought for a while they were going to leave Doug in London and just come back, yeah, you know, find your own way back. But down 10-0 to the Patriots, I'm really thinking it, and then they rallied for 32-16 wins. So they do have some elements. They're coming off a win. They are back home, and so those things might help them. But I got to say, Packers had a surprise and really a special visitor this week at practice, Dave.
They did. I mean, and before we get into the nitty-gritty of the Packers at Jacksonville, they did have that visitor. What is the latest going on with that? Because he was attending practice as well. So What's up with that? Let's talk about it.
Well, Robert Saleh, the former Jets coach who did business with Aaron Rodgers for a while till he was fired. And that was 2 weeks and a day to the day that Robert Saleh was in Green Bay attending a Packers practice. And the backdrop on that was Matt LaFleur was Robert Saleh's best man at his wedding.
Oh,
so it doesn't get much closer than that.
No.
They met in 2004 at Central Michigan when they were both grad assistant football coaches wanting to someday, dreaming of someday, be in the NFL. And here they are. And they shared a apartment that had a kitchen table, no chairs, and two beds. And that was basically
it. Cozy.
Yeah, very. And it was football, and more football talk. And Mike LaFleur, Matt's little brother, who now also coaching in the NFL, said it was crazy because Matt and Robert Saleh would come home on weekends from college or whatever,
right,
and it'd just be the greatest. I mean, he's in high school. They're grad assistants, football in college. And you just sense that family and unity. And so as obviously one discussion I would love to hear would be Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur when Aaron Rodgers arrived with the Jets. And Saleh saying to his buddy Matt, how do I deal with this guy? You've had him for,
right,
you know, five seasons. And I would love to have a tape of that. And then the conversation after the fact, yeah, thanks for that advice. It didn't go so
right.
Well. But they did talk about him coming in and being the eyes, the defensive eyes on Matt LaFleur's offense during practice. So what Robert Saleh is doing in a consultant role, and it's informal, the team I'm sure is paying him. It's not that he needs the money. He's still being paid by the Jets.
Exactly.
So he's not in any hurry to turn down any of that money guaranteed for a job with the Packers. But in a consultant role, he has taken what he's seen on the Packers offense on film to this point of the season, how defenses are preparing as the season goes along for them, maybe tipping their hand on maybe some reads and things tells they're getting on the Packers offense, and then a practical matter of saying, okay, you have the Jaguars defense. They've got Josh Hines-Allen on one edge. They've got Roy Robertson-Harris on the other, two of the best pass rushers in the NFL, and then pretty much not much else because they're giving up 27 a game. So Saleh's job would be, how do we work around those pass rushers? How do you suspect the Jaguars defense will proceed and try to attack Green Bay and anticipate? And then the rest is left to Matt LaFleur and his staff, but it's just more info, more input. And from a guy who is one of the best defensive minds in the NFL right now, who also happens to be Matt LaFleur's best friend. So I think it's incredible that they avail themselves of that. I love the forward thinking. I love the fact that Matt LaFleur, and this is his best friend, so it's a little different, but secure enough to not worry about Robert Saleh coming in, and secure enough in his own coordinator, first-year guy Jeff Hafley on defense, not to worry that Jeff Hafley might be intimidated. Those three guys have worked together in some capacity. Hafley was with the Niners. He knows Robert Saleh. And I would guess, unsolicited, he's going to come up and ask Saleh for his opinion on some things. And I guess it'll be all great because the defense has been that way. But I really like it, Dave, the fact that it reminds me of, in some ways, different totally, but Christian Watson and Eric Stokes being sent to Madison Hospital and UW and get their injuries assessed and analyzed and what best can we do. And it's been great, great, great rewards on that. And I think that part of that is because forward thinking, the Packers and the NFL paid the dime on that because they used the research to try to help the league in general. So I just like the fact that Robert Saleh is there and that LaFleur is using him that way. And one thing that I didn't mention in talking about trap game and why I don't think it is, Dave, and I do think this is important. Aaron Hill, along with Todd Hunt, Marcus Jones, and Ben Schumacher. I am guessing there are about 95% of NFL fans who may know Aaron Hill have no idea who the other three guys are. That is the Packers' strength and conditioning coordinator and his staff. Newly arrived from San Francisco this offseason, a new message, new voice, and I think the Packers mentally and physically are as healthy through seven games as I can recall. And that might be a byproduct of second-year youngest team in the league. But I want to give props to that conditioning staff because they looked the part.
Definitely. Okay, we've been kind of putting this off long enough. Let's talk Packers offense versus the Jags defense. On paper, it does look a little bit lopsided.
It does. I mean, the Packers, well, Jordan Love's amazing. They've got all their receivers healthy, knock on wood, right now. And the Jaguars' defense given up 277 yards passing a game, which has prompted me, and I haven't done it yet, but I will look and see what Jordan Love's career single-game passing yards record is, because that might go on Sunday with everything the Packers have working on offense. And, again, the mismatch on that side, Packers' offense versus their defense, I think is the more lopsided of the two matchups as we go into this. But I see Josh Jacobs getting into the end zone. They're expanding that that role a little bit. And this might be a week, and I'll be really curious, if the Packers, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse, get a significant lead, would they go to Malik Willis a little bit? Would they go to Chris Brooks at running back to get him a little more experience? Because I have to say, I love Emmanuel Wilson, but Chris Brooks has been a guy who catches your eye every time he's on the field. They had him in on the game-winning drive against the Texans last Sunday for primarily blitz pickup because even though he's newly arrived and he's fair second year in the league, Chris Brooks has a knack for blitz pickup, smart, and you have to really trust a guy if you have him in ahead of Jacobs and Wilson on the final drive that's the game-winning drive to go down and kick the field goal. So I think we might have to take a little snap count, maybe a little more Jordan Morgan in the offensive line, Dave, with Sean Ryan at right guard. It's been a little time sharing there, but depending on how the game shakes out, I really could see that being some good stuff with the Packers offense. Your thoughts? I mean, do you see a big, because I hate to get your hopes up, and then Dave will hit midway through the third. Yeah, Havel said 35.
Yeah.
They've got six.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that soon. But I do think they change it up this week because we know that it's lopsided. So I think you will see that happen. You're going to see, I want them to get a little bit more experience, too, with that. And this is a perfect week to do it, right? Let's face it. If you're going against a 2-5 team, why would you not try to change it up a little bit, see if you can get these guys some more experience? And obviously, they trusted them in that final play last week, too. So that leads me to believe that's what we'll see. I could be wrong. It won't be the first time. It won't be the last time either.
So, well, and then you look, you know, the Packers defense, just real quickly on that side of the ball, Jeff Hafley, they have given up an average of 4.4 points in the second half of their last five games. So Jeff Second Hafley is what they're starting to call him around here. And we used to gripe and moan about halftime adjustments. What are those? And I have to say that, and now I haven't looked because, in fairness, the Packers' offense, I should see how much they've outscored opponents in the second half because sometimes the circumstances dictate. But really, Dave, they were put in awful positions over and over against the Texans.
They were.
The turnovers in the first half. And they responded mightily. I am really impressed with Jeff Hafley. Evan Williams, the number 33, the rookie safety, rates out top five safety in the NFL, top-rated defensive rookie in the NFL right now, according to Pro Football Focus, by every metric and measure. So they found a guy with the 111th pick in last spring's draft in Evan Williams. And then Javon Bullard, Edger, and Cooper, their snap counts keep going up. And the defense just and Rashawn Gary, welcome to the party. Last week he was all over the joint, so I would expect that to continue too. Trevor Lawrence has had an up-and-down career, not really realized the expectations out of Clemson. But he's pesky. He can throw, and he does like to run. He's been running a little bit more, especially since their run game has been beat up pretty bad with Travis Etienne and guys being injured. But they've got a running back named Tank Bigsby. I mean, if you're going to
right.
look at your son and say, I want him to be an NFL running back, on what should we call him? What should we
call him? Tank. We're calling him Tank.
I don't know if that's actually his given Christian name. Maybe. Saint Tank was very famous back in the day, I'm told. But, yeah, Tank Bigsby. So we'll see. Hard-running guy. The Jaguars' offensive line is fairly susceptible. So I was trying to think of yesterday I called it a threat assessment Thursday. That segment lasted about 5 seconds. There's not much to see here,
no.
we concluded, you know, but it'll be a fun game, and who doesn't like a double-digit win if it goes that way? If it's close and Brandon McManus comes back to Jacksonville and back-to-back walk-off wins.
Right.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think it's that close, but we won't get into predictions yet.
Vegas has it as -4, Dave.
I know. That was what blew my mind when I was looking at this last night when I found out I was going to be doing this. That was -4. I'm like, wait, I don't think it's going to be that close, but we don't want to get too close into that. So before we get to that, what stands out about Sunday's game before we get into our predictions?
Well, I do think the fact that you might see a little Malik Willis down there. Show him a little love. Several players on the Packers roster are from that area and looking forward to going back there. And a lot, obviously, on defense, Georgia players, and then just a hop skip down to Jacksonville. So there'll be a lot of Packer fans, I would think, there. And, you know, I know the Jaguars won their game last week and feeling a little bit better about things. But come on, I got to think the Packers take care of business. And they do travel very well, so I like that. And then the other thing, I mean, it's awfully early, but and we'll never know, probably, but if the Packers put up 45, I got to say, geez, Robert Saleh's doing a whole lot more for the Packers offense than he ever did for the Jets.
Right. There's no irony lost on that one. That's going to be interesting. Oh. And do you think he travels with the team this weekend?
I don't think so. Now, he was living at the LaFleur's this week,
right.
Staying at their house. Matt's having his wife set 2 extra places at the table. Why 2? Well, have you seen Robert eat? He's a big guy,
right.
But I mean that's pretty tight knit when just hanging out there and all of that. So pretty good stuff. But yeah, I mean I just think a good vibe about this. Now the knock on wood part, I talk about them being mentally and physically healthy, and the challenges: Love's injury, Dobbs' suspension, the kicker situation. They've overcome a lot. This would be one of those games: get in, dominate early, show some veteran maturity, and then. I'm not saying coast in that fourth quarter, but get some other guys some PT, and then that way is the way you get ready for the Lions by kicking the tail out of the Jaguars, getting that fourth quarter, a little bit of rest, some snaps, and some work for some other guys, and get ready for Detroit. So that would be the final thoughts on that, how it shakes out, and we'll see if they show up because they're young, but a playoff caliber team, they should be looking to play their best game of the season Sunday.
They definitely should be, and it's going to be, you know, that's the part, this game should be an easy game. That is definitely still my prediction at this point. I'll get into my score prediction in just a second. Going in against the Lions next week, that one concerns me. I mean, that's huge. You got the Lions 5-1 right now, so that one's going to be a tough one. You know, in Detroit, they're playing the Titans, right? So, I mean, that's probably, they're in the same boat we are.
6-1.